Phoebe declining the request to appear on MILF Manor quickly before we start the recording.
Declining
on the basis that you're too busy.
Well, you make time for MILF Manor.
Make time for MILF Manor. People make time for the things they want to make time for. Everyone has the same 24 hours in the day.
Yeah, that's true. If she wanted to, she would, as they say. Hello and welcome to Master of Our Domain, the podcast that was once about the hit 90s sitcom Seinfeld and is now about TV shows about the classical world, etc. I am Milo Edwards. I am joined, as ever, by my co-hosts Phoebe Roy and Patrick Wyman. How are we doing?
Okay.
You know, I gotta be honest, I'm pretty fucking stoked we're done with this.
Yeah.
But this is the last time we're gonna have to talk about this show.
The only respect in which you can say about my life, there will be no more chaos.
Well, and thanks to the execs at Netflix, we know that that is 100% true.
Yeah, God, I never thought I'd die fighting side by side with the execs at Netflix, but my God, did they nail it with this one.
Yeah. Where do we want to start with this monstrosity?
We have two options. We can go Homeric and we can start in the middle, or start at the beginning.
Let's just start at the beginning. Fuck it. Let's not make this more difficult than it needs to be.
I'm actually trying to work out like what we would do if we were trying to do in medias res, but
So this is like last day of school. Like, we've put a video on.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're doodling.
We're watching Hook.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, great movie. Absolutely outstanding.
Certainly the show that chaos could have been.
That was the classic end of term film. When I was
would watch right
interesting I've school. Never actually seen Hook.
Have you?
Oh, it's
have
so good, not? Dude. It's really good.
It's got its moments.
Yeah. Okay. So I'm not gonna get sucked into this but I'll die defending Hook. It's also it's a perfect movie if you are trying to introduce children to the more complicated aspects of emotional development as a child. I think Hook is great to show like 6, 7, 8 year old kids who are used to kids movies, but Hook has like slightly more emotional depth to it and more complexity. And I think it's a very useful tool for teaching kids about like the downsides of complicated emotions.
Yeah. And it was an early role for Abu Hamza as well.
That too.
They had to give him one fake hand.
also an old Etonian, Abu Hamza.
Yeah.
Just like Captain Hook.
Well, it's like how Dom Jolly went to school with Osama bin Laden.
It's exactly
Abu Hamza and Rory Stewart were at Eton together.
It's exactly like that. In fact, that's the mark of the old Etonian, if they've got like something replaced with a hook.
Yeah, very hard to do the handshake.
With Abu Hamza and Captain Hook, like obviously it's like really obvious because it's their hand, but you undress your average old Etonian, you're gonna see some stuff. You're gonna see some hydraulics that you don't wanna see.
One ball replaced with a hook.
Exactly. A toe replaced with a hook.
That'd be handy. Imagine picking stuff up off the floor if you had a hooked toe.
Well, I don't have to imagine.
4 minutes into this,
I don't have to imagine it. I used to go out with someone who went to Eton. I've seen it. I've seen the hooked toe.
It's so good when you dropped your keys.
They do come in handy in that regard.
It's good. Like he used to spend his weekends roaming the South Downs. Picking up litter like David Sedaris.
Yeah, exactly. Well, it's because David Sedaris went to Eton as well.
All right, I'm just going to make this simple for you. Everyone who we mention from now on went to Eton. And that includes Jeff Goldblum.
Yeah, that's right. because you get those euphemisms for people who went to Eton, don't you? People say like, oh, you know, well, he can approach the zip line feet first. You know what I mean?
Yeah. He can pick up a tricky to pick up off the floor receipt or yeah. post-it note, if you know what I'm saying. If you know what I'm saying, he went to Stainless Steel Comprehensive, if you know what I'm getting at.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The slough.
Stainless steel, the best material for a hook?
That's interesting. You know what? I feel like we have to put a, well, I was going to say put a pin in that, but I feel like we're going to have to
put a hook in
that.
Yeah. put a banging hook on it.
Put a hook on that.
It's not lost on me that we have gone almost this whole 10 minutes without actually mentioning the show that we're.
No, we mentioned it. We just immediately started talking about something else. All right. Okay. Fine. I'm gonna get us back on track, and I'm gonna say yeah. that where we start. All right, with the final episode, final episode ever of season one, and also season
the final seasons.
The alpha and omega of the seasons of chaos. So we open with a thing about the prophecy. The family falls, chaos reigns. Now, okay, in this episode, it is strongly suggested that chaos, far from being an intangible atmospheric thing that happens, they strongly suggest that chaos is actually a almost like a personified tangible thing, which is on its way. And I am not stupid here. They've not indicated that in any way, shape, or form in the prior seven episodes, have they? This is the first we've heard of it.
At no point have they ever actually defined what chaos is.
Yeah.
Chaos is coming. Chaos is on the way. Chaos is coming for us all. Wait, but what?
Yeah, well, don't expect it to be on time.
But what is it? Is it like
is this Mussolini's Italy? Like...
Very chaotic, to be fair. Speaking of people who could hang upside down, Mussolini, another old Etonian.
That's why he always wore a hat, because he had a hook on the middle of his head.
Yeah.
For no particular reason. I've been thinking a lot about that gas station in Northern Italy lately. It's just no particular reason, no thoughts on why
great
that
prices.
Might be relevant.
You know, yeah. you know what it's like? You know when people have like a kind of trophy cabinet and they deliberately keep like a gap in the trophy cabinet for their goal trophy? Mm. It's like there's a pretty sweet looking gap in that gas station right about now.
There really is. Mm. There really is.
Sorry, beautiful. Can you take down Mussolini? One. I'm trying to see how much for diesel. He's in the way. I'm going to get a Yorkie for the glove box as well.
That's what it says on the TripAdvisor. Like
just
great gas station. Great gas station, but they should take down their hanging dictator because.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, that's on the Google review.
Yeah, the putrefying corpse of Mussolini is really obstructing the various fuel prices.
You know what? It's a hazard and it's off-putting.
I'm just trying to get a bit of petrol. Why do I need to look at Benito Mussolini's corpse?
I was about to sit in my car and have a Ribena. Now look at what's happened.
I'm pretty sure we're doing some kind of like anti-Ligurian racism here with this bit.
That's our favorite kind.
Yeah, no, we've really honed in on like Apennine Mountaineers here as a group to. this should not be taken in any way, shape, or form as a condemnation of Mussolini's fate. I feel like we're all pretty strongly in favor of that one.
But it did inconvenience motorists. And I think it's worth saying. I feel like if Mussolini was executed now, there would be a both sides.
like calling into LBC. Look, you know, I don't like the man, but I've got to get to work like everyone else.
it's much like the YIMBY movement, I would say, is where we stand on Mussolini's
dangling corpse. It's kind of like Just Stop Oil, the hanging the Mussolini upside down. You're like, well, I agree with them, but it's affecting my commute.
And it's going about it the wrong way. If you want to put people off your cause, you hang a rapidly rotting dictatorial body upside down in the gas station. I mean, at least put him the right way up.
Mm-hmm. I'm like, who is? I had to turn my head round to see who it was. I didn't recognize him upside down.
And someone else, you know, you could actually clean that paint off him.
Yeah. Oh, so is that Franco?
Nothing was damaged.
Why would it be Franco? I'm confused. it's the Duce. I wonder what happened to him.
The Duce himself.
Yeah.
The House of Duce.
House of Duce.
That's an idea. There we go.
There you go. Now there's a fashion brand now, we could launch.
Now, House of Duce. Now there's a Netflix show. One season. Still
you didn't.
Just one
you married
season.
A Kim.
Oh my god. Yeah. Oh, okay. This is I like where we're going with this. Yeah. I feel like we're really digging.
It's very
today.
Simple. My father is dead, but he's still president. What's the problem? Adam Driver again. He has to do an Italian accent again.
Yes.
Lady Gaga playing the lion.
Yeah.
I would really like Adam Driver to play Kim Jong-un. I don't.
Oh.
No makeup, just the outfit, doing an Italian accent.
Tell me you now don't desperately want to see that. And honestly, given his body of work, I feel like he might be down.
Adam Driver answered a riddle incorrectly at a crossroads, and now he has to do an Italian accent in everything.
Al Pacino is Kim Jong-il.
Yes.
We gotta nuke the South Koreans. They're the bad place. Angela Merkel. She's got a great ass.
Yeah.
That's okay.
Yeah.
All right. Could probably move on from that one.
Jared Leto is the nuclear missile.
in one of his stronger performances.
Oh yeah, perfect. Yeah, he went method for it. No one knows what he means by that, but he keeps saying it.
Yeah, he's just, and now everybody is just, now everybody around him is irradiated.
Well, no, he hid in an under ocean bunker for 6 months. It's amazing he didn't drown.
Yeah, yeah. Spent 6 months in a torpedo tube.
Well, this is the thing. And now, Jared Leto, if you want him to go off, both people have to turn their keys at the same time. I don't know what that means.
If you want to release the Joker.
If you want to release Jared, then that's what's got to happen. Okay,
yes,
so
him and Subway Jared get released at the same time.
I've done one plot point.
Yeah,
I'm just
sorry.
Just flagging. Just flagging that. Up.
We got the.
So
prophecy,
we hear about the prophecy.
We
hear that chaos is supposed to be kind of a tangible thing. I know we talked about this in the first episode, but what I was reminded of was that I saw the poster for what's he called? Fucking the director. I don't like him. He likes it when time goes forward or backwards.
Nolan.
Christopher Nolan.
Nolan. So Nolan's Odyssey, which is coming out next year,
Fingers crossed, Colleen makes a cameo appearance.
Let's hope so. Which is quite interesting because everyone I know. I'm not exaggerating. I've had so many messages about Nolan's Odyssey, and half of them have been being like, "Oh my god, like, bet you can't wait to see this." And then the other half of people have been like actively trying to kind of protect me from the information. Sort of people kind of like, "Okay, so I've got something to tell you. It's not good news. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, it's not."
Yeah,
it's not good news. Are you sitting down? Are you safe?
Yeah, are you all right?
Nolan sisters'
performance of Tide Is High as the Sirens was a weird choice.
You're not gonna drop them. The Nolan sisters being involved, are you?
No.
Tell you
there's three of them. It's perfect.
To you about Nolan's Odyssey the same way people talk to me when a sandwich shop or burger place that I love closes. That's the same vibes, like. I hate to be the one to tell you this.
Colleen is the only one who can turn people to stone.
Yeah.
The other two, the other two are just non-specific Gorgons.
Patrick, I'm so sorry. MILF Burger is closed.
No, not MILF Burger. I love their fry sauce.
They ran out of MILFs to work there.
That's
due to the socioeconomic realities of life in Arizona.
It's true. Yeah, it's a tough market, man. It's a tough labor market.
Tough markets because MILFs don't want a MILF anymore.
No, they don't. Yeah. Let's make America MILF again.
Make America MILF
again. Yeah, 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 yeah.
Well, now I know what to get you for your next birthday, mate.
Mama. That's a great campaign.
It just says Mama. It says Mama on a red hat.
Yeah. We'd sell hundreds. Again, TM, that's a merch idea.
It is, yeah. Yep. I don't want to see any of that on your fucking red bubble.
We have officially copyrighted that. This counts it's like calling dibs.
Verbal copyright. That's a real thing. Yeah, so the poster for... I keep wanting to call him James Cameron. He's not James Cameron. The Nolan's Odyssey has just come out. And because people think that you just use the kind of transliterated Greek letters in order to make it like extra ancient, it actually just says...
Yeah, he's beckoning over a cat, as Odysseus was often wont to do.
So I just keep thinking about this because it's really annoying that Chaos is using the K because they obviously think like, oh yeah, that's the Greek C. It's like they have a CH. There's the letter which is a CH.
Mm.
It does exist. Yeah, it's just there.
Yeah. In fact, it's a Greek word. You could say Chaos.
Yeah. In fact, you could almost say so that's going on. Right, Zeus is having a nightmare about eating a pomegranate, and as we all know, the pomegranate represents the seasons of the year. Now, there's something that happens later on in this episode, which, like, I feel at this point I'm sort of like kind of I'm a little bit sensitized to this show, and stuff that shouldn't wind me up is winding me up to a kind of to a disproportionate degree.
Sure.
But yeah, what is it though?
It is that for some reason, and we talked about this a bit, which is it's a bit odd to have Persephone and Hades as being a kind of like loving equal partnership, because I feel like the backdrop for that story should be in there somewhere. And we have an explanation of that, and this is more fucking the writers are like on the bus trying to kind of rewrite the script on the way to you know, like the first day of Greek myth, like they're sort of frantically doing their homework.
Yeah, they've run out of space on the fag packet and they've moved on to a receipt that one of them had scrunched up in their pocket.
But it's okay because there was an old Etonian amongst the writers and they were able to just quick it up from the floor.
Yeah, great, excellent.
Because it was on the floor of the bus and people with normal hands, they can't pick it up because you're sort of scrabbling around trying to pick up a bit of paper.
That's what the hook's for.
And then he could do the trick of hanging from the handrail on the bus.
Yeah.
Yep. Just to entertain everyone, just give them a light moment.
I mean, this is what started the execution of Mussolini. It ended in tragedy for him. Like, he was just showing off.
It was actually a Jackass-style stunt that went wrong.
He was showing off his Batman impression. Mm-hmm. Batman doesn't hang upside down, though, does he? Does he?
No, I don't think so.
I'm not familiar enough with Batman's oeuvre to be able to tell you.
I think he should hang upside down. Otherwise, he's fake. Otherwise, he's fake as fuck.
Yeah.
A fake bat.
He should eat fruit.
Just stealing bat valor.
He's stealing bat valor. If you're not hanging upside down in a belfry, then don't even talk to me.
Batman's belfry.
Batman's belfry.
I've heard that it has benefits for the muscles of the back, Master Wayne, to hang upside down in a belfry. I heard that on the High Performance podcast.
Yeah, and Alfred is a big Huberman Lab guy.
Yeah,
absolutely.
It's good. It decompresses the spine.
Yeah, Alfred runs that lab in Wuhan.
Something rather unexpected has happened, Master Wayne. I'm afraid one of our latest. we thought it would be a way to stop the Joker, but unfortunately, it has resulted in unforeseen consequences, sir.
Is that deliberately sounding a bit snotty? Because
yeah. I can't taste anything
whilst away. This is quite frankly a more plausible explanation for the outbreak than the lab leak theory.
Yeah.
That it is
Batman's fault in some way.
No, that it was specifically Alfred.
Alfred.
Mm.
Yeah,
like
that seems like an Alfred thing.
You know, he's looked after this family for a long time, so we forgive a few mistakes. He's getting old. It happens.
Cause a global pandemic? Comes with the territory.
Yeah. Well, Alfred is overworked at the end of the day. He does everything that's not being Batman around the house. He's doing all the merchandise.
He's dealing with a lot of mental load.
Emotional labor.
Does, like every so often, Batman's like, "What? Like, I'll help you. Write me a list."
Yeah.
But that's not the point, is it? Alfred doesn't want to write him a list.
No. It's the point that the point is you shouldn't have to be asked. You should just do it because that's what being a good partner is all about.
There's always enough time to fight crime in Gotham, but there's never enough time to ask, "How was my day? What did I do? Was polishing the silver harder than expected, perhaps? How am I getting on in my virus lab?" Which, to be honest, is one of the more outre of my duties. That really was not on the job description, Master Wayne. I have to say I'm not qualified to handle this kind of pathogen.
It says right here, other duties as required.
Yeah.
Right here.
I really think I should get some extra money for this. Or you should hire another member of staff.
considering the amount of responsibilities, it is kind of remarkable that Alfred handles all of it.
Yeah.
Like no support at all. Like, so really we should be celebrating Alfred's achievements, because what is Batman but, you know, Alfred's strong right hand.
Yeah, imagine he's you know, he's like pouring files into one another in the lab, and then the fucking doorbell goes as a courier with, you know, Bruce Wayne's Huel or whatever, and he's like, "Oh yeah, yeah.
I never get to work in the lab without any interruptions."
That's such a specific burn on Bruce Wayne, by the way. Like, that's so absolutely fucking perfect.
It has to be special boxes of fuel as well that give off sonar. Otherwise, he'll never be able to find it.
Yeah.
God, how did this just turn into us talking shit about Batman?
I don't know that.
Such is our desire to not talk about this show.
I don't know the answer. All right, I'm dragging us around. We're
circling the wagon.
You know we're not going to stay here for long, even if you do drag us back, Phoebe.
Pat has left his teddy at the gas station where they've got hanging Mussolini. We're going to pull the car around. We've got to go back for Pat's teddy. All right.
Okay. Look, I do love stuffed animals, so don't, like, let's not even joke about that. I love a stuffy.
Love a stuffy. We all love a stuffy. Yeah. We all love a stuffy. Yeah. So for some reason, they obviously were a bit like, "Ah, shit. Like, isn't there some like kind of grim rape story as the background of Persephone and Hades?" And so someone's like, "Ah, shit. Okay. Well, let's address it. And let's address it in the weirdest fucking way possible, which is Persephone saying directly to Hera, 'Why'd you spread that lie about us, by the way? I was there of my own free will.'" Okay. Why is that? What is happening? What is going on? Why is that there?
It's so fucking bizarre.
It's bizarre.
That for all of this show's willingness to embrace certain really fucked up aspects of Greek myth, it's very squeamish about sexual violence, which is also extraordinarily present.
Which is not a bad thing, but it's also a strange subject matter to choose if you're going to get squeamish.
Hmm.
Yeah, I mean, in the sense that, like, sexual violence is actually foundational to several of the stories that they tell.
Yeah.
In this show.
Yeah.
And like the Persephone one being one of them, but like it's also an undertone in, like, the stuff about Zeus and his many children, and like the sexual violence is kind of all over the place there, and they don't just ignore it; they actively run from it.
Yeah, and there's also with like Dionysus as a character as well. There is a certain interpretive school of thought, which I think is sort of relatively persuasive, which is that one of the things which is supposed to be so frightening about the followers of Dionysus, about his back eye, is that they are vengeful women and uncontrolled women, and women who are capable of both defending themselves and taking revenge for sexual violence.
Yes.
It's a bad fucking day to be a swan when they're about, let me tell you.
Yeah.
True.
And so Dionysus never sending even one person mad is a puzzling choice. It's a puzzling choice. Also, we have Persephone being like, "Yeah, like I'm gonna involve myself here." And Hera's like, "You're not even part of this family." Yes, she is. She's Demeter's daughter. Demeter is one of the 12 Olympians.
Yeah.
2 seconds on Google. It takes 2 seconds. I mean, I know, like, admittedly, if you try to Google it, you'll end up with a lot of like Pinterest stuff, admittedly. But, you know, you scroll down, you scroll past it.
Yeah. It's like going to the second page of search results is not exactly like mining.
Exactly.
You know, like you're not exactly like a child coal miner.
Yeah, can find like this you're out. Just you clicking can find a this out. So Zeus is having a nightmare about eating a pomegranate. So this is another, we've talked about this before for this show, which is that every so often they do something which seems like it's going to like either be a kind of knowing nod to the source material or a twist. And then it turns out just not to be. And the fact that he's eating a pomegranate, I'm like, oh, there's a pomegranate.
Season 2, Chaos Australia. There we go.
but it turns out to be meaningless. And in fact, Persephone says that she's allergic to pomegranate as a kind of throwaway line. So he cuts his finger.
How'd you find that out, love? Eating a lot of pomegranates down in the underworld, are you? Well, have you got your EpiPen on you? Big problems with scurvy in the underworld due to the lack of sunlight and thereby citrus fruits.
She actually found out at a hen party cocktail making workshop. She had some grenadine and she just swelled up.
Yeah, well, that they had to cut the L plate off of her neck because it swelled
up. She swelled up like bibendum. You know.
Of course, in those days, the Michelin man hadn't yet been invented, so they had to...
Fucking tire man telling me where to eat. I don't know what his digestive system's up to. I'm not going to take his advice.
I had to clean up a great deal of... my daughter, on her birthday, had a Shirley Temple, so a 7-Up or Sprite with grenadine in it, mm-hmm. and then threw up afterward. So and you can guess... what color that was?
Sorry,
it was
just Dad, grenadine. Too many. Oh,
she did. That's exactly what she said.
No, sorry, it's embarrassing, really. No, I'm 7. I shouldn't really, but
yeah, she walked into my office and she's like, "Daddy, I shouldn't have had that Shirley Temple." Like,
she's like hands on knees doing the big breaths that people who are too drunk do. Like, sorry, I'm gonna be.
Just give me a.
I shouldn't have had that 9th Shirley Temple.
And that's and this is why I no longer drink to excess very often. It's because I'm very familiar with that pose.
Oh yeah,
been there.
Oh, it's bad.
Many times.
Yeah,
yeah. Don't care.
It's so fun when it's not you though. We had this at the Melbourne Comedy Festival last year. Me and Muggleton were out with one of his mates, a comedian that I didn't know as well, and he was just absolutely fucked. And he's just properly at the table in the place doing the big breaths, doing the. And we were just like in a taco restaurant at 1 o'clock in the morning, and I was like, "This is so fun." I'm like Dr. House here. I'm like, "Have you had a charcoal tablet? Have you considered a Powerade?"
There's a lot of paths we could take here, or you know, you could do my favorite one, which is when you know it's coming, just smoke a cigarette as fast as you can, and I guarantee you that's all coming.
TC
back
it out.
Yep. Yeah. Yep, that's like their methods. There's things we can do here. You're not helpless in this situation.
I like this kind of like cowboy bulimia that you've just given an instruction manual for. Smoke a cigarette as fast as you can, and then like, because making yourself just throw up the normal way is that's a little bit too healthy. There's a better way to do this.
Yeah, no, just have you're already fucking drunk enough that you're gonna puke. You think the cigarette is the problem there? Like that's true. That's
yeah. Cigarette is a health accentuator.
That's I take all of my medical advice from 1950s doctors in Reader's Digest magazine, and they tell me cigarettes are fine.
It's a detox tea at that point.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. It's my exactly.
Yeah, exactly. It kind of is.
Yeah. And cocaine straightens out women's wombs. These are all things I've read in my 1950s medical manual.
Also true. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's my understanding. Right, yes. So Zeus is having this nightmare where he cuts his finger, which means that he is mortal because the gods do not bleed. And then he wakes up going like, oh, fuck. And then he finds out that Minos is dead, so his prophecy came true. Oh, no. So Hades has a plan for the underworld. We don't know what that plan is. We don't know why it's happening now. We don't know. Who knows? He wants Medusa to help Persephone in some way. We still don't know why Medusa has a job. We don't know why Medusa has a job. It's never explained why Medusa has a job. It's never explained why, like, some people who are working down there are people and some people are fucking Medusa. Like, at no point is that explained.
Well, it's DEI, isn't it? What does it matter if she turns you to stone? You're dead anyway.
Is there any indication that she is still turning people to stone?
HR nightmare, wouldn't it?
Like, at least in the Percy Jackson film or whatever, they have like Medusa wearing sunglasses as like some kind of nod to the fact that they even know who Medusa is supposed to be.
It's a nod to the fact that Medusa's really hungover.
Yeah.
She had a few snake bites last night.
She also went to the cocktail making workshop. She's fucked.
Yeah. She tried to
straighten out her womb a little bit too much last night, if you understand what I'm saying.
A cigarette in the mouth of each snake.
I mean, that's kind of awesome.
Yeah.
The snake's like got a straw and a kind of can of Coke.
Pretty cool. Does my hair smell?
Snake's ordering her some Dominoes.
Fuck.
Stop making Medusa so cool, man.
It's a nightmare getting Dominoes to Hades. They'll bring it to the banks of the Styx. I can't get the moped over there, mate.
And then they're ringing you, and you've got even if you're on the sofa, you're in your jammies, you got to get up. You got to get in the boat. You got to go across Styx.
Yeah. Charon, do you mind just bringing it up? I'm in bed, mate. I'm fucking suffering here.
I know, it's the last
I'm hanging
time.
Hanging out on my ass.
I promise it's the last time. Yeah, all right, but not doing this again. Just a little idle query. You know how there is a little bit of a subplot about how Charon and Prometheus are lovers and Prometheus betrays him and kills him?
Oh, yeah.
Has that come up since?
Oh, no.
Only through knowing glances. There's one knowing glance that Charon gives when he drops Riddhi and Orpheus off back at the thing.
Oh,
where
yeah.
You're like, that's one. So if you think one knowing glance is enough to tie that subplot off, then yes.
Then yes, fine. Okay. So Zeus,
if not, no.
So Zeus goes off and his plan is, now, honestly, this plan makes a lot more sense than his plan to try and get Minos to outrun his fate. I don't know why he didn't just think of this in the first place. He goes off to destroy the fates, because if he destroys the fates, then he can destroy all of the prophecies. We don't know why he hasn't thought of this before. The fates seem chill about it. And then they come up with...
Well, the fates have quite a deterministic viewpoint, you could say. They're not very stressed, are they?
No.
Just like, you know, this would happen, didn't I? Wasn't I saying earlier?
You were. Yeah. You were saying it. You did say it. She said it.
Yeah, we were just talking about it. We were just saying, you know what? I've got a funny feeling. I feel it in me, Walter. Zeus is going to come down.
I've always said she has an uncanny way of knowing what's going to happen. Sometimes I'm like, oh, couldn't tell me the lottery numbers, could you?
This would have been such a better portrayal of the fates if they were all like Essex women getting their hair done.
If they're all Carol from HR.
Yeah. Oh, that would have been great. Like the nail filing. Yeah, perfect.
Yeah, I would have liked that. I would have liked that as well.
We're the fate destroyers. Anyway, sorry.
They're not big. They're
if you're
not
listening,
big
producers of season two of
we've got some notes for you.
We got some heat.
We've got some suggestions. We're gonna put them down, and it's up to you to pick them up. Yes, the fates. They're not great, like what if people. They're not very anxious, the fates. They're just like, yeah, what will be, will be. So they say it doesn't matter because they're Zeus, he's Zeus, they're Zeus looking out of his eyes. And then one of them says, if you pretend a prophecy doesn't exist, then it doesn't exist. And I feel like that's something which should be made apparent. If that's really the case.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of people have tried that in Greek myth and it's not worked out for them.
Yeah, exactly. Like, yeah. We talked about this last week about how like there's such a famous story about people trying to overcome their fate. Like, why not use that one?
If only anyone knew it.
If only anyone knew it. If only.
Yeah.
But the problem is they got kind of, you know what? I was gonna make some kind of abstruse joke about the Sphinx and like getting like stuck on the Sphinx's question, but I can't be bothered. So fill it in yourselves.
I appreciate you nodding to that and letting us know that was in the
cards. It's been.
You don't want to ruin the flow.
Talk about someone who'd be upset about Milf Burger closing.
What, the Sphinx?
Yeah, the Sphinx.
Well, the Sphinx knows that Milf Burger's going to close. That's one of its riddles.
Yeah.
Not MILF burger.
Yeah.
All
right. What has two buns and
the burger meal.
Yeah, exactly, the burger meal. It's like the Hamburglar, but sexier.
Now we're talking.
Now we're talking.
We've got a mascot. She's got the little like the eye bandana on. Yeah.
They call her the Bam Bam Burglar. That's what they call
these buns are brioche.
Because I'm caked up.
That's right.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. You know, you got it. You're getting it.
They're light and fluffy, although Pat's not into that. Pat likes a dense dough, as we discussed.
Little sesame seeds stuck to her ass for the photo shoot.
Yeah, don't pigeonhole me, Phoebe. My tastes are broad.
Okay, well, I do apologize in that. Please, I do apologize thank you, in thank that you. Case.
Give me some credit here, Phoebe.
I constantly can never stop giving you credit. So the possibility exists, but it can't come to pass if you don't believe in it. That's bollocks. I'm sorry. That is not how any understanding, ancient or modern, of fate or prophecy works. That if you're just like and like cover your ears and say la la la, then it's chill. Because that's literally the point of a prophecy or a fate. If you try and do that, then it's going to come for you in some kind of abstract, abstruse way.
Like didn't they have a whole thing about the fucking Furies?
Yes.
Well, that was a whole plot that we did earlier in this show. I would have liked to see them again.
Yeah. John, Tyson, Tommy, where are they?
Just so that we could do one more throwback to that.
You thought you could escape that prophecy simply by not believing it. Tough luck, son. I am the prophecy. I'm the fucking Fury. I'm the prophecy king. Can't get away from me, sunshine.
God damn it.
Plot point number four.
When I'm done with you, you're going to fuck your mother.
Yeah, that's Oedipus Fury right there. That's one of the lesser known.
The Furies are just enforcing the motherfucking. They don't personally do it.
Yeah. They're just the motherfucking promoters. They're not actually. They don't actually participate in the sport.
This is on. I got targets to meet, and you're going to get in there.
All right, Milo.
You're going to eat that health burger.
God damn it. Think about what a richer universe this is that you've created here.
Yeah. Real.
The Furious, real, the Nolan sisters. Alfred, for some reason.
Have we got any more famous families that you want to invoke? The Foxes, maybe?
I don't know. Oh, like Lawrence and Emilia.
Yeah, and there's a grown fox, isn't there? There's an older fox, a senior fox, a silver fox, if you like.
Tell me more.
I don't know. There might be.
Right. I think there is.
I definitely, the ranking for me is definitely Emilia number one, Lawrence number two.
Okay.
Definitely prefer Emilia to Lawrence.
I don't know who these people are.
Good.
There's only two. I'm sure the other one's probably better than Lawrence as well, but I don't. Not familiar.
I feel like there are several foxes. But you know what? I don't want to.
Fantastic Mister. He's got to be in at number two.
Yeah. Dr. Fox.
Yeah. Yeah. Probably below Fantastic Mister, I reckon. Mm-hmm. Liam Fox.
Fire Fox.
Probably below him again. Mm-hmm. Sorry, who's that?
So,
Fire Fox, the now defunct.
Oh, browser. Yeah. Maybe number two, actually. I think Emilia's still on top.
Emilia's still on top. But you're still ranking Lawrence Fox quite highly.
Well, he's bottom.
He's bottom, right? Yeah. You know what? I was misunderstanding your taxonomy there. It happens. Happens to the best of us. It's because I'm just like Alfred. I'm overloaded. Got a lot on my to-do list.
Will somebody please take responsibility for the Wuhan virus lab away from Alfred and Phoebe?
Yeah. Will someone just take one for the team here? Dr. Fox, Liam Fox, any of them?
It can't be that hard to find a qualified virologist to...
No. Because I'll tell you this for nothing. I'm many things, but I'm at best an enthusiastic amateur when it comes to viruses.
That's what the other fox sibling does. He's a virologist.
But he is a fox. He lives in the undergrowth. Right.
now we're about to get into a taxonomy of burrows here.
Don't let him in your chicken coop.
You know,
God damn it. Ooh,
yeah, they've all got bird flu now.
You said that in a very kind of ponderous voice, like kind of, you know, but in all seriousness, the threat of avian flu.
It's as bad as foot and mouth. And, you know, we've not got Destiny's Child promoting it this time. So
what?
Have you not seen the video where Destiny's Child are interviewed about foot and mouth disease at like I think it's at the Brit Awards in the UK in like 2000.
Why would I have seen that?
Because it's iconic. Because it's amazing. Because it sums up Britain so well, because it's like these American celebrities have come over and they're used to an environment where they get like asked about their album or whatever, or their fancy boyfriend. But no, they're being asked about fucking foot and mouth disease. And then Kelly Rowland says, well, we've got to get those scientists back in the lab.
I mean, look, she's not wrong.
Yeah, they had to get him back in the lab because the big Kelly Rowland sign went off in the lab and they were like, well, back to work.
Michelle piping up, like trying to kind of lyricize something. She's like, yeah, I don't think the scientists are ready for this jelly. And Beyonce saying, shut up, Michelle. You're so not helping.
They actually use jelly extensively in their culturing experiments.
Yeah. You're not ready for this agar jelly.
That's right. Yeah. That was the original lyric.
For this bacteria culture growing on this agar jelly in a Petri dish. Can we make it more snappy? Not a lot rhymes with Petri dish. That's my concern there, yeah. Beyonce.
Yeah. It's a tricky one to rhyme. But then again, they're committed to the bit.
They are committed to the bit.
Sorry, please continue. Yes.
So Zeus sets the fates on fire. And they don't seem to mind this at all. They're very chill about it. And I think the fact that the fates are like, well, I saw knew this coming. Was gonna happen. Did see this one coming. I feel like that should be meaningful to Zeus, but Zeus is just like, oh, okay, I feel I've dealt with this now. Bish bash bosh, we're all done. But
pretty chill bathrobe he's got.
Pretty chill bathrobe. Like, looking
good, really nice dressing gown.
Kind of kimono vibes.
Yeah, really, honestly, for all the bad things that you can say about this episode, and there are many, that's not one of them.
That's a nice touch. We do like the bathrobe.
The kimono and Adidas trackies is a look that maybe we should all consider. Maybe for a live show, if we ever get there.
I have been strongly considering moving my look to like knockoff Armani sweatsuits.
Okay.
And that's just like... just going 100% into it, like going to like trying to find like dupes of high end fancy tracksuits.
Okay.
Going with that as my look.
MILF Burger may be closed, but that doesn't mean that the MILF Magnet has to close for business. You know what I'm
saying?
That's
what I'm saying, man. That's like, true. Look, you know, you got to know your audience.
Yeah.
I don't know my audience at all. I don't know what they want.
The MILF Motel is open for business.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Jeff Goldblum's style in this show as a whole,
peerless.
Fantastic.
And honestly, as like a long-term Goldblum enthusiast and apologist, you know what? I'm a Goldblumologist. I'm willing to say that. I'm willing to claim an academic specialism. I think he styled himself for this. I think he chose his outfits. That's what I think.
Certainly had a lot of input.
Certainly has a lot of input. Okay, so Prometheus gasps at Zeus setting the fates on fire. Even though he's the voice, he's the narrator. He's supposed to know what's happening. Why doesn't he know what's happening?
Don't know.
No, it doesn't make sense. Mm. So the prophecy
thinks
is...
that's a bit beyond the pale. Like, I can't support that.
A bit much, isn't it? Much. People have got to get to work. As soon as you start messing around with ambulances, then you've lost me. You've lost the ordinary man.
Yeah. So people are trying to get to work, you know. Look, people enjoying themselves, are having a drink in that bar. Zeus comes in, sets the whole thing on fire. You know, I respect that. You know, people have got their difficulties with the fates, but it's affecting the common man.
Look, I'm chained to this rock, having my liver pecked out. I've got this fellow upside down, complaining about people drinking cappuccino after 3 o'clock in the afternoon. I don't want him here. Can't he go somewhere else?
Mussolini, like a real like Italian purist, like that was actually why
pizza.
He died when he was hung upside down. They showed him someone putting cream and peas into carbonara.
Yeah,
And he's like, I can't take it anymore.
In order to taunt his hanging body, someone went up to him and snapped some spaghetti in half.
Yep.
Yeah, correct.
And then boiled it for like 15 minutes till it went like rubbery.
I really kind of want to go to Mussolini's resting place and do that.
just snap some spaghetti. 5 o'clock in the evening. You know what's happening? Cappuccino.
Yeah. Taking Mussolini a meal from Jollibee and just leaving it on his grave.
Lovely foamy coffee. Oh,
are you guys familiar with the Olive Garden?
I know what
it is. Yes, passingly, yeah.
Yeah, so it's like an American chain Italian restaurant known for their endless portion sizes. And I would just like to take a bag of Olive Garden.
Just leaving it there.
And just leave it like an offering at Mussolini's.
We've got Zizi. You could take a Zizi order.
This is the kind of energy. I don't know why I'm so anti-Mussolini today, but fuck that guy. Like he just.
I think it's fair to be anti-Mussolini.
Yeah,
that feels uncontroversial.
Like, yeah, no, I mean anti-Mussolini in general.
Gunning for him today.
Yeah, it's more the today aspect as opposed to my general anti-Mussolininess. I'm like, I don't know why. Yeah.
Well, it's because
a lot of
it's because it's the 26th of February. It's Anti-Mussolini Day. Yeah, you knew that, right?
Could be.
Yeah. Alessandro Mussolini railing against you for leaving Olive Garden on her grandfather's grave. You're animals. They have no respect.
Yeah, just some breadsticks and fettuccine Alfredo. Like, I mean, God damn, that actually sounds like a really fucking good bit.
I thought you were going to say it sounds like a great meal. I am quite hungry right now.
What? That sounds like, hey.
Do I look like the kind of man who would turn down fettuccine Alfredo at 12:05 on a Wednesday?
This is kind of a crank theory, but I'm like, you just went with Italian food in America, you have to approach it as a different cuisine. In the same way that Domino's is pizza, but it's not pizza in the way that like pizza is pizza. You have to just enjoy it for what it is. And then you'll have a great time. When you're just like, exactly this has correct. Such an inordinate amount of bad stuff in it, but in a way that is delicious. Then you're like, yeah, excellent.
So this is the test case for this is Taco Bell, which Mexican Americans and Mexican immigrants to the United States love, but it is not Mexican food. It's Taco Bell. You eat Taco Bell because it's Taco Bell.
Have you tried this American thing called Taco Bell?
Yeah. Like I had Panda Express for lunch. It's not Chinese food. That's it's American food.
There's one thing we know about Chinese pandas. They move extremely slowly. There's nothing express about those guns.
Yeah. And Panda Express, very fast. Very quick. Yeah. Really, really kind of a contradiction in terms, you might say.
Mm, yeah. Yeah. And they're always fucking in there too. It's crazy.
They are. Yeah. Yeah, unlike the real thing.
Oh, yeah. No, not those guys.
Just can't pay them to fuck.
They've tried. Throwing dollar bills into the enclosure at Edinburgh Zoo. Come on, May.
What, like?
Come on, just
like a panda strip club.
Yeah,
and yeah, the very much. Just, yeah, and the panda's making just it rain. Like,
I'm already naked.
Make that panda pop for me, girl.
Make that panda pop.
Oh God! That phrase is gonna live rent free in my head forever.
Make that panda.
Have you even encountered panda pops either?
No, he won't.
I don't know what.
Wait,
that
you
is,
don't know what panda pops are, Phoebe?
Of course I do. Oh, okay, fine.
That was terrifying. I expected Patrick not to know, but
no. I love a panda pop.
Panda pops are like. Well, I think they don't exist anymore, but they're like a corner shop beverage that you could get in the UK.
Yeah, they were kind
like a
of...
soda that you could only buy at the bodega would be the American equivalent. Like you could not get them in a supermarket.
They're a kind of nuclear treated sugar drink.
Yeah, extremely sugary.
There was a blue one which tasted of just blue.
Yep.
There was a kind of red raspberry one. There was a kind of a cola one which didn't taste like any other cola on the planet. Used to be able to get them at my school canteen.
They were made with real panda.
This brain, this personality was forged in the fires of the panda pop.
You officially adopted the panda pop.
Exactly.
And we've come full circle back to Christopher Nolan.
Albert's lab where he developed the panda pop in Wuhan. Now, I've come up with a number of flavors here, Master Wayne.
This one tastes like blue.
Yes. It's, now, get this. It's blue, but it is raspberry flavored. But children just call it blue flavor. They don't even know the flavor is secretly red.
It doesn't taste of raspberry either. And there was a red raspberry one as well. There was a red raspberry panda pop. So there was a blue raspberry and a red raspberry.
And one of them made you see
which
the trees.
Exactly. There we go.
Thank you, everyone. Yeah.
So Zeus destroys the fates.
Yeah, so Zeus destroys the fates. Prometheus is, this includes the prophecy. The prophecy is turned to ash. Caenaeus tries to get Medusa on board with stopping people going through the frame. What happens after the frame is now called the nothing in finest young adult fiction style. Orpheus and Rhydia are on the boat on the way back, even though I thought they weren't being sent back. So maybe I missed something there.
Persephone, like, let them go.
Oh, okay, fine. So Caenaeus shows up on the
frame. He's meanie, isn't he? Just get on the boat. I'll deal with it. You get on the boat.
I'll deal with it. You know what, sweetheart?
That was exactly what happened.
You leave this to me. I'll talk to him. He's just grouchy.
He's a softie,
he's in a bit of a bad mood.
And the thing is, he's under a lot of pressure and he can't be seen to be making exceptions. But it's
he
not
found
about
out
you.
That they discontinued Panda Pops.
he found out about Milf Burger.
I now have like a kind of running, sort of running parallel to what we're talking about now. A running bit in my head about like how you would try and find out what currency is meaningful to a panda in order to pay them to mate, and you're just like just like trying all these like different things and then just being like no value.
What,
no value,
bamboo, whatsoever.
Not even bamboo.
You got loads of it.
No, that's my food. That's not money, it's food. God, you're fucking stupid. Like, you'll think you're so clever with your breeding, you don't even know the difference between money and food. Idiots. Yeah.
just fuck it. Just really coming for everything panda related today.
I like pandas. I like how they're roly poly. I like their monochrome. I think it's a good look. It's timeless.
It's slimming.
They're the upper bear.
We took our kids to the like National Zoo in Washington, D.C. a couple of years ago, and they have pandas there. I was mesmerized. I could have stood there and watched the pandas just roll around and be pandas all day. I'm like, this is the life. Right,
yeah.
This is really what I want.
Yeah, I went to that zoo on a trip to the States and a few years back, and they had Mussolini hanging upside down in the bat enclosure.
Over the pandas. They were just ignoring.
Over the pandas. They were just pretending they couldn't see him. You know, they've had enough. They've had enough of his caper.
Well, then I found out the pandas were technically Taiwanese and it all made a lot more sense.
I'm not gonna pick that one up. I'm just gonna pretend you didn't say it.
Do you want to get us banned in the PRC, Milo?
is that the plan all along? Is that what you're trying? Is that what you've been trying to do?
Yeah. We're gonna have to all apologize in Mandarin.
Just like John Cena.
Exactly. Did. Yes. Oh, they see him now.
Exactly like John Cena did.
Do you know how happy I am that you immediately got that reference?
Yep.
Just so. Fucking happy. Like, this is, that's made my day.
It's good. I missed out a complaint, which is that none of the other gods are at the gods family meeting. And I think that's really annoying.
Yeah. Where are the rest of them?
Why is it sort of set up like a kind of boardroom meeting?
Where's Athena? Where's Hercules?
Where's Hephaestus? Sorry.
Where's Demeter? Yeah. Who's Persephone's mom?
Hephaestus has a woodworking project that he just simply cannot leave right now.
Yeah. He's building a smoker.
Yeah.
Got a really complicated Lego. He's making the Millennium Falcon.
I mean, honestly, if you put Hephaestus in the present day, he probably would be building Legos.
That's right.
Yeah.
I think that's pretty appropriate.
I'd love to come to this meeting. I really would, but I'm watching Fred Dibner's World of Steam and I'm trying to build a working half-scale model of Stevenson's rocket.
Would Hephaestus be a model train guy?
Interesting. Maybe.
No, it's terrible living inside this volcano, of course.
You know who is a model train? He's not a model. Sorry, he's a model village guy. It's not the same thing.
Who's a model?
Rod Stewart is a model village guy, and so is Jules Holland.
Well, I mean, to Jules Holland, a model village is just a full size village.
Who's Jules Holland?
Oh, Jules Holland is
a very short
jazz
man. Number one,
he's a jazz musician.
Yeah, no, I got
and
that.
He loves boogie woogie.
He loves boogie woogie. He's a jazz musician and TV presenter.
Yeah, he was in Squeeze.
Was Jules Holland in Squeeze?
Yeah, he was the keyboard player in Squeeze. Up the Junction. I don't know. This is very Brit chord like.
Oh, yes. Okay, I know that. I know that.
Yeah.
I know
and
that.
He does
okay.
the Hootenanny, yeah, yeah. of course.
And he does the Hootenanny on New Year's Eve.
Yeah.
Sure. Okay.
Yeah. Where he ruins other people's songs by, he has all these musical guests and then he just comes in halfway kind of through with Boogie Woogie Piano and they're all like, oh, I fucking knew he was going to do that, man.
I remember a few years ago, I was at a New Year's Eve party, and it was a strange party. It had a strange vibe in that all like the lights were on, and everyone there had known each other for like a really long time. So it was more of a gathering than a party. Mm. But then
Jules Holland turned up.
And the party had kind of split down the middle into like the drug half and the half of the room who were eating a lasagna and watching Hootenanny. I don't know where they got this lasagna from.
And hello to the people over here doing cocaine. And also hello to you eating the lasagna.
Yeah.
No. And of course, everybody, C6 Steve. He's had too much lasagna.
Yeah, the two genders are eating lasagna and doing cocaine.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That is the literal two.
Every man must choose.
And I knew that the point at which I should probably have left this party was when I got it into my head that the two sides of the party should be joined. There should be a union of the two sides of the party. And so,
can you guess
decided,
which camp Phoebe was in?
So I decided that I was going to approach the lasagna eaters and make friends with them. And I just went and sat between them and just was, I don't know what I was talking to them about, but I'm telling you, they didn't want to hear it.
They were quite happy with their
they
lasagna.
They were so happy with it. Also, cannot stress enough, the two who were sitting on the sofa with the lasagna, they were a couple. I went and sat bang between them.
This is the thing that you lasagna eaters don't understand. You know, this party is like a lasagna. You know, like you're like the pasta sheets and we're like the meaty filling. But
and
Jules Holland's
like
Hootenanny is like the bechamel
that?
Sauce that
it's
holds
fucking,
us together as a coherent whole.
Idols on TV. See, I don't like them myself, but I hear their great life. A bum 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 bum.
We're so nearly done with
the plot.
Model Village guy though.
Like, yeah, Model Village guy. So Kinnaird like shows up at the frame. He's gonna try and stop people coming through. Orpheus is a bit pissed off that Riddhi has fallen in love with Kinnaird in like the few days that she has been in the underworld. Maybe a bit understandably.
She's moved on pretty quick.
I feel like that's like not a particularly unreasonable thing for him to object to.
You know, I'm Team Riddhi on this one. Took her coin.
Fine. I'm like, yeah, like I mean, obviously, like fuck Orpheus, but like, it's pretty quick. She's a bit like, yeah, no, I've fallen in love with him. It's like, no, you haven't. You don't really know him. You're one of those. You know, puts a picture on Instagram a bit early. You're one of those, aren't you, Riddhi? You're one of those, like, they can't have been dating more than about 3 months. That's going to be embarrassing.
I know lots of people who are, I'm of an age to know lots of people who are currently getting divorced and getting back into dating. So this is a phenomenon I am seeing firsthand right now.
Yeah, early, like, early is, hard launches.
Yeah, no.
MILF Burger should have held out. There were MILFs to be found. They just had to weather the storm.
You're like, this is not the one.
We could have found more MILF line cooks.
Everyone has to be a MILF. Even the line cooks.
You've really got to locate this restaurant in a place that has a MILF surplus.
Yeah.
Well, my sort of full employment for MILFs, you know, political plan.
You're a MILF Keynesian. Yeah. Is that sure?
We met the senator from Delaware who has full MILF employment, and part of the plan is these MILF burger restaurants where everyone, even the line cooks, is a MILF. More at 11.
That's an MSNBC segment, right?
Yeah.
Like That's the B block on Rachel Maddow.
Tonight. Yeah, yeah.
Well, we have this thing called the MILF Index, and this is how you assess the
The Economist publishes it every year. The age of a MILF in every major economy.
Yeah, and it's when the Economist is like brought out in a kind of gold foil bag, so you know something saucy is in on the inside.
I go to the newsstand for that one. That you don't read the online.
No. You gotta get him to get it down for you the from the high shelf. Yeah. Oh, look at that. Oh, that is some tasteful Botox that she's got there.
Hey, look, that's only the true connoisseurs know how to spot.
She doesn't look a day over 42.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Yeah, so Knez is showing up at the frame. He's going to try and stop people coming through. Then he meets his mum, and he's like, "What the fuck? You betrayed me." And she's like, no, I betrayed you because I have to help you fulfill the prophecy and take you through the frame." And he's like, no, I can't go. There's nothing past there. That's the nothinging or whatever it is they're calling it.
Hmm.
So, but she drags him through anyway, and then they're both in the hall. Something that I understand that they have to like indicate that something terrible occurs after you go through the frame. But like, if there really is nothing, then like, what is the point of them keeping the kind of the bodies? Like, what's that other than like, I suppose that's just to like to indicate it visually. It's still annoying. Anyway, so Prometheus isn't happy because Kinesh is meant to be protected. And if the family falls, then he's going to be free. So if he's been taken through the frame, then no. Then Hera is holding an intervention. Zeus shows up with the magic immortal water. Dionysus is half full. They're all going to be rationed. It's unclear whether or not they know what it is, or Dionysus knows what it is. Like, they just sort of, they don't seem to know.
Zeus has also got his lucky watch back from the Furies. So he's pretty
And so he knows that Dionysus betrayed him. So he knows Dionysus betrayed him and lied to him and also stole his watch and then pretended to get it back. I've also put here, have I missed an episode? Because it feels like quite a lot has taken place that I've not been party to. Then we have Zeus.
I'm constantly like, have I missed a scene?
Yeah.
In between two scenes.
Have I missed a series somehow? He says, I took a world of chaos. So chaos is in the past or chaos is in the future. Like what? And brought law and cohesion. And I've put in brackets here, I mean, according to what? Because there isn't really. Like Zeus the lawgiver is not really a... Anyway, Zeus wants to bring Olympus into line. Dionysus says that he helps Orpheus because the gods lie to humans and that's really bad. So Dionysus does know that the souls are going in the water. So why doesn't he just not... Persephone says, well, Orpheus failed and he's dead, which isn't true. She's just saying that to fuck with Zeus. Then Zeus gives a little speech about love and about how you shouldn't love anyone or something. And then the bad thing happens, which I think we're just going to jump over. A bad thing happens, which is so unnecessary and it's horrible and it's, I don't know why it's there. I don't know, by this point, we have demonstrated amply that Zeus is a piece of shit. We do not need to have the bad thing that happens. Then Zeus says that he has set fire to all of Hera's bees. She's not that delighted about that. Poseidon tries to get Hera to come away with him. So Zeus pours his immortal water out. And then he's like, I'm taking charge of Poseidon's city and all the cities. It's like, yeah, you're the king of the gods. You're already in charge of this. What?
Yeah. They're your lieutenants. You can do whatever you want.
Then, yeah, exactly. Yeah,
you could do a reshuffle.
Yeah.
Dionysus, you're doing the sea now.
Yeah.
Yeah, take the trident. You'll figure it out, mate.
You know what? Just for fun. You're doing the sea and the sky. See how that grabs you. So Zeus and Prometheus are then shooting the breeze and Prometheus disappears and Zeus is like, oh, where'd he go? Because he didn't do that. So he doesn't understand why Prometheus has been apparated or disapparated or whatever, because normally he does that. Persephone goes to comfort Dionysus after the bad thing has happened and says, love isn't weakness. It's the opposite. This is another point in the show where you can sort of imagine the writers high-fiving themselves. And I got to tell you, that high-five is not earned. You gotta earn your fives. Yeah, you gotta earn your fives. Yeah, and then she says, "Oh, maybe
you
the
must
better
always
part-
earn a high five, Master Wayne."
That's right. and other gnomic observations from the butler. So yeah, she says maybe the better part of Dionysus is human, and he's like, ah, and then he's like, ah, but you don't know what's going to happen there. So Ariadne is now, we're back to Ariadne. She's now dragging Glaucus's body around. She brings it to her mum and is like, look, okay, so my brother didn't die. He's been in the labyrinth. Here he is. Oh, also I killed dad. And her mum is like, yeah, that's chill. So Ariadne is now queen. Then Riddhi is back on Earth. She meets Cassandra, who says, oh yeah, I'm a prophet and now you are as well. And you have to go to the living and set them free. And Kinnaeus will do the same with the dead. And then Kinnaeus' soul goes back into himself and he like looks around. So presumably he's been given the ability to restore souls. Why? By who?
Chaos in the season finale boldly says, remember Billy Piper was in this?
Yeah.
I bet you forgot.
Actually, no. No. Speaking of Lawrence Fox, remember
yeah.
Billy Piper?
Yeah,
was in
speaking
this.
Of the Fox family.
Speaking of the Fox family.
Yeah, more confusingly, she's married to Liam Fox now.
She's married to Dr. Fox.
Yeah, well, and confusingly, Liam Fox is also a doctor.
Yeah. So he's Dr. Fox. Anyway.
The double doctor.
And the double doctor, exactly. He's got a German PhD.
Yeah, that's right.
That's right. So Kinnaeus comes back to life. Oh, we've had Hades trying to manually restore Naxx's soul, but then he can't do it. We don't know why. So, yeah, so I've just put here, why keep all the bodies, which we've already talked about. Then we get a puzzling flashback, and then Kinnaeus puts the soul back in his mum, who opens her eyes and says, chaos. And I've put here, if chaos is meant to be some kind of tangible thing, you need to say this before episode 8. This is something which you need to say explicitly. Prometheus is free, and he's sitting in Zeus's chair. Uh-oh.
You don't want
that. Uh-oh, Prometheus is here. Zeus now has a cut on his finger, so he's no longer immortal. Hera is really, really fucked off that he killed all her bees, and so she's on the march with her Tacitus. I don't understand why...
Poseidon's moping on the boat.
On the boat. She's on the march with her Tacitus. I don't understand why the Tacitus, who is Riddhi's mother, isn't like functionally loyal to Hera. Like, why does she want the gods to fall? Is it that it's just Zeus that's going to fall? Because that's not the same thing at all. Anyway,
it's unclear. I think it's fair to say that it's unclear.
It's unclear.
Yeah, if I had an answer for you, I would have given it. I do not.
So she rings someone. She says, it's mummy. Gather the troops. Pat, like, melts into the floor, as far as I can tell.
A little bit. Maybe a little bit, yeah.
That's what happens when they reopen Milf Burger.
It's first mummy,
gather the troops. Gather my line cooks.
It's the most successful advertising campaign in history.
Call up the injector.
Gather their grease-stained bikinis. They must return to the grill.
There's a new mummy at the grill.
Oh.
They're all just like naked, but wearing the apron. And the apron's got like tits painted on it.
Yeah, beautiful.
Yeah. So Hades then tells Kinnaeus that he can renew human souls, how he has got this capacity and what this meaning and what meaning this has. Bearing in mind, we are like pretty close to how the ancients thought about death. Like, isn't being able to renew souls after death, isn't that like a disruption of the natural cycles of life and death if you are an ancient? Particularly if you're an ancient who's cutting about with Persephone, who is supposed to represent the changing of the seasons and the cycles of life and death, which characterize that. You know what? Never mind.
Yeah, you're giving this entirely too much
never
credit
mind.
Then, for coherence.
Then we have Ariadne, who's now Queen of Crete, meeting with Andromache. Remember, Andromache's in this? And she says, you need to help us rebuild Troy. What? And destroy Olympus. What? And so I've put, okay, I'm sorry, what the fuck are they talking about? So is this Olympus as a synecdoche for Greece? Because if so, why would you have Olympus, i.e. the gods and the home of the gods, as the synecdoche for Greece and range that as antagonistic to Troy, which doesn't hold up in any way, shape or form? Like, why is the rebuilding of Troy antagonistic to the gods? Surely it's antagonistic to Greece. And what?
I got good news for you, Phoebe.
Yep.
We're never going to find out.
We're never going to find out. That's true. I was wondering whether the intention is to describe Rome. So you're saying you're going to rebuild and refound Troy, that your men are hear that and be like, oh, what up?
Yeah.
Roman Empire time, baby.
Oh boy, have I got a shield for you.
Yeah, exactly. It's got like tits painted in the middle.
Aeneas's bawdy Blackpool shield.
His seaside postcard shield.
Yeah.
And then I've put another final complaint, which is that Greek myth is like absolutely full of cursed houses. Like, why pretend that the House of Minos is a cursed house when we've got the House of Atreus, we've got the House of Oedipus, we've even got the House of Laomedon. Like, that we've got cursed houses. They're everywhere. The Greeks loved it.
Yeah.
Minos is pretty much the only house that isn't a cursed. Whatever. Yeah. Anyway, Dionysus has his bottle of magic water. He's outside a building. I don't know what the building is meant to be. And then it's the end. That's it.
Yeah.
That's it.
Okay. So I have a foundational gripe with this show that I would like to share.
All right.
It is all of these very clever TV people who watched The Sopranos and Game of Thrones and Rome are enamored of serialized storytelling, right? It's that you're going to do these long, drawn out plots that stretch over multiple episodes, and then eventually you're going to wind them up with your big finale. The problem with this dedication to serialized storytelling is that you forget that stories are supposed to fucking end at some point. There was supposed to be a conclusion to the story.
Or indeed begin.
Yeah, this is as serious a critique as I can come up with for this show on these specific terms, which is having a serialized story that is supposed to stretch over multiple episodes does not obviate you of the responsibility to finish plot lines. Like, there should be within your big serialized story multiple completed plots that have a beginning, a middle, and an end, that have their own structure. There's no structure to any of these. They all just lead on to this big and next season on chaos, which you cannot do. You have to tell, you can end a season and have like a cliffhanger or have here's where this is going and still complete an actual story. None of these stories are finished. Not a single one of the plots that we have been working with for 8 episodes is done. They're all literally just beginning.
Mm.
Like, you could have done, if you were doing a real tight story here set in this world, within the confines of this show, everything that happened in this season would have been a 5-minute prologue. I'm dead serious to the story that they actually want to tell, which it seems like is what season 2 would have been had they done it.
The one saving grace of them not wrapping up any of these storylines is that the season's so bad that no one cares.
It's really shockingly not good. I can't overemphasize, even in the context of an industry that is obsessed with telling these long, drawn out stories, how poorly they structured and concluded these plots. Like, it is, I find it genuinely offensive as a writer, like that none of these are, that they did not complete a single one of these. Like, it's, I don't understand how they thought that was a good idea. Like, what do you? You don't conclude a single plot line. None of them. Not a single plot line. Like, I just, it's driving me fucking nuts.
Not a single plot was finished. But you know what is finished?
Us in this goddamn series.
Next week, we're doing a movie. Yeah, that's right.
To be determined.
To be determined. But it's treat time for the gang. So,
yeah.
And it's treat time for you, the listener.
Yeah.
Do something.
Yeah, that's right. Thank you for bearing with us through chaos, and thank you for being a Patreon subscriber.
Yeah, thank you, and thank you for letting me talk about myth. It's been a while. I've enjoyed it.
It's been.
1 week since you looked at
me. Yeah, exactly. 1 week since I last watched fucking Chaos.
We will be increasing the number of weeks on a calendar.
Yeah, yeah. Week by week, the number of weeks since we last watched Chaos will go up.
Marking the passage of time. Like, this wasn't bad, but it could have been so good.
Yeah, it is a good idea, which could have worked, and it didn't work. But we have now got a fun Ovidian calendar. We've now got a fasty.
Yeah.
Set up. Yep. So.
Yes. And next week is Negotium, not OTM.
That's right.
On Ovid's right. Ovid's fasting.
Exactly.
That's right.
OTM. OTM. OTM.
OTM.
Yeah. We love our OTM on this.
We love
business.
Our OTM.
Yeah. Next week we're going to be podcasting live from Milf Burger, and we're going to be having fun.
It will be OTM.
Yeah.
It will not be Negotium.
It will be OTM. Absolutely. So thank you very much once again for being a Patreon subscriber. We'll see you next week. Bye bye.
Bye.
Bye.